Welcome to the Shut Up and Ride podcast. You guys have interrupted us in an argument. I actually pressed record to stop the boys from shouting at me. They're now calling me a regime because I have informed them. I'm not going to start the podcast with this. We're dropping that big word, even by my standards. So I'm not going to say it. But anyway, welcome to the Shut Up and Ride podcast, sponsored by the wonderful people that are keeping
Charles Owen.
Yes, Simon especially, keeping his head very safe. But we will talk about that later. We do have a guest. I'm not going to introduce her first. I'm going to tell you, lovely listeners, why we're having an argument. Because it will throw some light, actually, on Benjamin, who everyone thinks is so wonderful. But last week in our podcast, I had to edit out him dropping the C-bomb. If you don't know what the C-bomb is, then I probably wrong podcast for you guys. But I had to edit it out. And now they are saying that they think they should be allowed to drop the C-bomb on this podcast. And I'm now running a regime. So yes, you can both bugger off, boys, because that is a word too far for me, I'm afraid.
Profanity is like linguistic punctuation to emotion, Jenny.
I'm not sure I understand the word. I was going to say,
I got totally confused by that. He's far too clever.
Limiting my state of artistic expression.
Okay, you stand on a horse for a living. Artistically express yourself somewhere else.
Fine, we can rein it in. And I'll just have deep in my heart to know that if you annoy me on tour, well, you can't edit me when we're live. So we'll be fine.
Gosh.
Because, of course, we swear all the time. Unlike Jenny, who never swears ever.
I never swear. I am an angel.
She's such a good girl.
I am sorry, though, Jenny. I don't try and give you more editing. You left in me saying that I take my child to beer gardens, which I've never done, which I was mortified by. I listened to that back and was like, I've never even taken Wild to a beer garden. I don't even go to beer gardens. And I don't know why I said that. So I just wanted to make that as a public apology.
You've got a few public apologies to make this week, but we'll leave that for later because we do have a guest. But yes, I've even written my notes today in red because there's a few things that we need to address. We've been shouted at for.
This is getting serious.
Oh, I know. Well, we won't get it serious. Let's introduce our guest and then we can find out how you two fuckers are later. Right. So.
You definitely wanted to say the word then.
I really did, but I don't know how to edit in a bleep machine. Maybe this person can help. Because my husband was like, why don't you just bleep over the word so it's still there because Ben's funny? I'm like, never tell Ben he's funny. It will unleash a beast. Right. He'll take his top off and swear at everyone. Right. So this guest I have known now, I reckon, for about 5 or 6 years. She's very funny. She's very entertaining. She's proof that I don't hate all influencers. She is a big fan of the pod. She is a retrainer of racehorses, tamer of dragons, and also is about to bring new life into the world. It is the wonderful Footloose Eventing. Lucy Robinson is in the pod.
Thank you so much for having me. I am a big fan of this podcast. I'm sure everyone starts by saying that, but when you asked me, I was like, absolutely would love to join you. So thank you very much for having me.
Ah, and you know the Simi, you've been taught by the Simi. You know me because I have produced and directed you and then we became friends, but you don't know Benjamin. What do you know of Benjamin before we introduce you formally on the podcast?
I know he does a lot of amazing work with a variety of different horses on the ground. I'd say he has a limited knowledge of eventing, possibly. I'd say you'd like to say that he has to take his top off, but I've never seen that, so because I don't go searching for it like you do. But from the first 2 minutes that I've been here, he seems very nice. So hey, Ben.
Hi, I'm flattered. My knowledge of eventing is limited, not non-existent. Limited. I know something.
You know quite a lot now, to be fair.
Yeah, I know Simon. And could I name 5 eventers? I don't think
I was going to go for 3 eventers, but can you name 5 eventers? Go, let's go.
Can you name
any eventers?
Simon.
That doesn't count.
Lucy Robinson.
Surely I can have Simon.
Count. No, you can't have that.
So I can't have Simon.
What's his surname?
Greaves.
No S.
There's no S Grieve. On it.
Well, I've said Jenny's name wrong for years. I've remembered something.
Yeah, me too. Spelled it wrong as well. And she hates that when you spell it wrong.
Yeah.
I know right. Oliver
it's
Townend.
It's not Ruddle as in puddle.
It's not Ruddle as in puddle.
Noodle for poodle. Right.
Oliver Townend, yes.
Oliver Townend.
Thank you, Lucy. Yep, Oliver
Don't
Townend.
Say Jeff
we'll give
Billington,
you
for God's sake.
Is Tom McEwen?
Yes.
An inventor?
We can't actually share the way
no,
the reason
move on.
That he knows who Tom McEwen is on
move
this
on.
Podcast, but we will tell you afterwards, Lucy. But it's very funny the reason that he knows who Tom McEwen is.
Is Ross Cantor an inventor?
Yes.
Ross, not Ross. Roz Cantor.
Roz Cantor.
We've interviewed one on this podcast.
I don't say that.
Who
That's
was that?
Fucking mortifying.
Laura
was I
Collett?
Here? Laura Collett. Oh yeah, Laura Collett. Yeah, four's enough.
Hmm.
That's enough.
All right.
That's enough for a competition. That's your podium and one more. Cool.
Right. Good. It's a quite good team you've actually made there as well.
A very good team.
Yeah. That'd be like a dream team. Well
so I won't be asking many eventing questions today, Lucy. I'm sorry about
that. To be fair, I probably won't know the answer myself, so don't worry.
I had no idea it was Roz.
Did you think she was called Ross?
What, as in a man? Did you think she was a man?
Yeah, but I know a woman called Kyle and a man called Stacey. I was like, well, do you know what?
You know a man called Stacey?
Yeah, and they're a couple. They're
I know a
married.
Man called Tracy.
A man called Tracy?
Tracy.
I know Leslie can be a girl or a boy's name, can't it?
Yeah.
And so can Robin.
So can Simone.
And a girl and a boy's name.
Yeah,
Simone.
I guess. Do you know, I heard my favourite thing so far this week. This Halloween, always remember, to be Winnie the Pooh, all you need is a red T-shirt and courage.
Yeah.
It made me very happy.
I love Winnie the Pooh. We can have Benjamina as well.
I get called Benjamina.
Are you a Benjamin?
I am Benjamin. A Benjamin Nicholas Atkinson.
Ooh, oh, wow.
Lucy.
She's clearer now.
Yeah, she's back.
Yes,
right. Lucy Robinson, or why the fuck are you called Footloose Eventing, can I ask?
Because when I started eventing 10 years ago, I had the chance to ride someone else's horses, and he was called Andrew, and his yard was called Turpins. So I was Turpins Eventing. That was like my first Instagram handle for the horses back on the Blue Chip All-Star Academy days when we first met, Jenny.
Oh, yes.
That was then. So I was Turpins Eventing, but everyone kept calling me Turnips Eventing. And I thought that didn't really have much of a vibe to it. So that's why I used to have a nickname, which was Footloose, from a boy that I fancied in like GCSE year. And he used to call me Loose Footloose. So I was like, well, Footloose, it's got double meaning. Footloose Eventing was born. So, yeah, he doesn't know this. And also, I obviously don't speak to him anymore. It was many, many years ago. So, but he is the reason for my brand. So there you go.
And he doesn't even know it.
No, he has no idea. I won't say his name. His first name is James, though.
It's a good name. It's a good name.
It's a good name.
Son's name. And congratulations, you are making a human as we speak. Like, literally, isn't that crazy? As we speak, you are growing a human.
It's actually crazy, and it's taken me quite a while to kind of realise it.
I was just about to say, do you want to start that sentence again and I'll edit it out?
It is stamping on my bladder.
They.
Yes, they, them pronouns.
They.
Okay.
Sorry, Jenny's just had to do a very clever edit because I've said to the internet that I'm not doing the gender reveal and I've just accidentally dropped the gender. So there might be a lot of editing throughout this. But yes, I am having a baby and they are making themselves known. Oh, it's really this is going to be difficult to do. Making themselves known now because I can feel them quite a lot because I'm 30. 3 weeks as of yesterday. So
so I'm just going to shout something to my lovely husband, who's got a very lovely willy. Please, can I have a coffee? I just saw him in the background. If anyone listened to the last podcast, you'll know what that means. We've had lots of comments about Gregor's willy and his bum, to the point that one person has said, I'm coming on the tour in hopes that I get to see it. And I said, his bottom. She did not ask to see his willy. And I said, don't worry, I will bring a picture. And said lady, I think she's called Debs, said, don't worry, I'll bring my glasses. I love our listeners. They are excellent. But you are having it. Now, Lucy, I'm going to start this podcast with a bit of an intervention. I was listening to your YouTube video. I actually listened, guys. Look, me doing research. And I was listening to it. So obviously you filmed it last week. And at the end of the video, you said, I'm really excited because they're throwing me a baby shower in about a month's time. I'm not sure if anyone's told you how long pregnancy is, but I feel like this is something we need to address.
I mean, but I
does that mean will she have had the baby by then?
Yes, quite possibly. But yes. So I hate to tell you this, but you need to book in that baby shower a bit earlier.
No, don't freak me out. Don't freak me out. The baby shower is on the 15th of November, and that's when it is. And I will not have a baby by then because I haven't bought anything. I'm waiting to the baby shower to buy things so that I know what to get.
So, Lucy, who's organised the baby shower?
Justine and Jess have offered very, very kindly. So Justine is my... Justine Ward. You may or
yes,
may not be
for,
familiar with her.
Ben, who can only name Ross Cantor and Tom McEwen. Could you explain for Ben who the legend that is Justin, I'm calling now Ben.
We're doing really well today.
Oh, this is terrible. It's 6 o'clock in the morning here. Who Justine is, because you're very close with her, aren't you? And she features a lot in your videos. But some people might be a bit like, who is this human in all your videos?
Justine is, she has evented herself very successfully up to 5-star back in the day, kind of pre-children.
She was third at Burley in 1995.
There you go.
Oh, it's in your eventing knowledge era, Simon.
It is.
So I
teach Justine, and I was slightly starstruck when I first taught her because she was an absolute legend back in the day.
Yeah, she's still a legend, to be fair. She retains the status. And now she's doing a big epic comeback. She's actually currently at Bicton. She's just gone clear.
She's gone clear show jumping. What time is she cross country?
Three, I think. Very shortly. But yeah, so she's great. I first knew Justine when I moved to Norfolk, and I had another ex-racer at the time, and she was recommended to me as a trainer to help me. And since then, that was like 8 years ago, we've been really good friends. And I'm grateful that she's still my friend and helps me with Ember, etc.
And an eventer throwing a baby shower, I feel like that could be quite funny. Like, I feel like you're going to get some very practical presents. You're going to get things like Anusol, like pads. You're wanting like cute baby clothes for said child. But I have a feeling you're just going to get like paracetamol and some Jaeger bombs or something.
Yeah, let's not talk about Anusol.
Are those standard baby shower presents?
I always turn up with a bag. When I go to a baby shower, I take a bag of stuff you actually need when you're in the hospital, Anusol being one of them, and a packet of pull-up tenor ladies. You don't want those pads. You want the pull-up pants that you don't have to worry about.
Have you not seen on Instagram, there's like a trend at the moment. Well, it's not really a trend. It's just my algorithm has changed dramatically since, going through this whole pregnancy thing. So I've got lots of kind of pregnancy related things. And it's the postpartum kind of panty sandwich, which people are creating, which starts with like the pair of disposable knickers and then like the most ginormous maternity pad, followed by like witch hazel spray and then like foam and then ice packs, and these are all like laid up into a sandwich, and then I guess
put right on there. But yeah, it's a learning curve for me.
I'm going to tell you this story because it wouldn't be a podcast unless I slagged off my husband. But I had my first son was what I called cut and sucked out, which is Von Tooth, the thing where they put the sucker on his head and pull him out, but then they make a slice so they can do that and pull him out. And then a couple of days later, and no one tells you quite how many stitches you're going to get. Don't worry, that bit doesn't hurt. Didn't even know they were stitching me up or doing any of that. You're in the throes of it all. No, you don't realize. No one told me that either, which was quite nice to know. But then when I was asleep and rolled over on my side, Gregor in his sleep kneed me in the stitches.
Ooh, ow.
Yeah. Yeah. So just a word to the wise. Warn your partner that that is not okay and to keep one's knees to oneself.
I think I need a bigger bed in that case.
Me and George actually slept separately for like the first 10 days, 2 weeks, I think, after her C-section. Because she was like, no. She was like, no, you move too much. Stay away. Go away.
Oh my gosh. Guys, I'm supposed to be having like positive affirmations and like positive birthing stories because I'm trying to do like the whole hypnobirthing thing of positivity and, you know, the whole thing. And I'm not supposed to surround myself by stitches and tears and Von Trapp family. What did you say? Von Truth?
I don't know what it's called. I just called it cut and stucked. It's all good. Don't talk to me then. But my friend Jen, I should put you in contact with because she did all of that with all three of hers and she had lovely births. Lovely time of it. So we'll give you her number. I was very pregnant with Delilah and Ross Cantor, I was filming with, and Roz, as we should call her, asked me about how giving birth and everything was. And I informed her of the awfulness of it all. And I think I went quite far with it because I was angry and very pregnant at the time, probably more so than I should have done. And a week later, she messaged me to tell me she was indeed pregnant herself and was trying to get nice birthing stories out of me.
To be fair, I think it's good to have a range so you know what to potentially expect. It can't be all butterflies and sunshine and everything. Some gory bits too, but we'll see.
A friend of mine was going to have a water birth, and they said that you have to bring your own sieve with you. So that you can, clear the water if necessary of any wrongdoing. I didn't realise that was a thing.
I'm speechless. Lucy, do you have a sieve in case of emergency?
Just in case.
I do have a sieve, but I use it for, like, you know, my broccoli and stuff.
Pasta.
So I don't really want to be...
Not for number two.
No, but I've said to Rob, like, I really don't want to do that in front of him, but I know it's a possibility. Because I do want a water birth. That's what I would like. But anyway, we'll see. Hopefully no sieving required, but yeah.
It's worth it. It's amazing. Our little boy's 9 months now, and it's the best thing in the world.
It is the best thing. I really enjoy the baby stage, like, weirdly. Now I have two fucking humans living in my life and my house, and I'm like, what? Where did you, like, what? Whereas when they're babies, it's like having, like, because like a horse or a dog or anything, you just have to work out what they want and tend to their needs.
That's the same, Jenny.
And like having a baby's like that, whereas when they can start talking, it's like, oh, okay, you have opinions now.
But also, isn't it, Jenny, you'll know, like, it can be really, the birth can be as great or as awful as you want it to be, but as soon as, like, it's done and the baby is out, then, like, all the emotion, like, takes over and the hormones take over and literally you think it's the best thing ever since sliced bread and you forget all the pain.
Until your husband knees you in the vagina. Yeah, it's great, Simon.
Reasons he didn't need you in the vagina. I mean, God.
Oh, it's actually in the butt area because that's where the stitches are. No one tells you that bit. One of the things about being pregnant is people offering you unwanted advice, but I'm going for it, Lucy. I'm going down that rabbit hole. I was a bit of a kind of fun Hitler and just didn't want anyone in my house for the first few weeks. Don't come around, don't visit, don't bring your children, because I may have just pushed one out, but I still don't like them. This sounds really odd. Do you remember when Meghan Markle was saying she was going to have like a fourth trimester with her baby when she was like, and she was going to be like, right, I have this fourth trimester where you're just with your child and nobody comes around and it's just you and your husband or whatever. And I actually don't think she's that nuts for that. The best thing we did was go, we don't want to be inundated with people. We just want this time and just be like, I don't really have to get out of bed. Don't have to do anything. Just stayed upstairs in our bedroom, chilled out, tried to work out how to breastfeed without stress of loads of people throwing their unwanted opinions at us, and didn't have loads of guests straight away. I think, Ben, you were quite different, weren't you? You're like inundated with people.
We were the opposite. Like,
yeah.
The moment we got given the go-ahead to come home from hospital, we'd been messaging one of my best mates, and he's got keys to the house and stuff. So the moment we told him we were coming home, he came, let himself into our house, tidied the house, cooked us a full Sunday roast. We arrived home, he served it to us, then he washed up and he left. Then, like, throughout, we went for the opposite. Like, grandparents round, like, you know, family round, but we're very honest with them. If you want to come round, come to help. You want to come round, you can clean the kitchen, then we can hang out. You want to come round, you can help feed the horses, then we can hang out. You can, you know, you can hold the baby, and me and George will go for a bath and I'll go for a shower.
I didn't want anyone holding my children. Nope, not allowed to hold them. Nope. So yeah,
so it's whatever works.
I don't know how I'm going to be, to be fair. You guys are very much polar opposites, but maybe a bit of both. Maybe I can be the kind of in-betweeny, because I quite like the idea of someone coming to cook me meals.
Yeah.
And not having to do anything, but then not too many people, because then I'm like,
you like that even when the baby isn't involved.
We will be slightly concerned though if we all end up getting keys to your house in the post, Lucy. I'm not coming around to clean your house. Don't start getting that idea.
I think it's all about being honest though, isn't it? Like, when I've been off with my knee, like, I know it's completely different, but when I've been off recovering from my knee surgery,
this is where Ben's going to compare knee surgery to
I'm going to compare handling guests when you're not at your best. Like, so if mates messaged me saying, can I come and hang out? And I'd be like, yeah, but if like my leg kicks off or I've had enough, then you'll have to fuck off. Like, that's kind of like, I'd love to see you, but I'll get to a point where I've had enough. And then
you've got to be like, if the baby kicks off, then you need to leave.
Just like, be like, yeah, I'd love to see you, but. Do you know, it might be a 10-minute visit. It might be an hour. Like, I'm knackered. If you come around and then...
I'll be honest,
just almost
sort
of laying the groundwork. Being like, yeah, if I tell you that I'm done and I need you to go, don't fall out with me. Come on.
I think that's a better comparison. Whereas Gregor, when I gave birth, compared having his eyebrows plucked to me giving birth on pain levels. So I'm glad you didn't go there. Yes, he genuinely believes having his eyebrows plucked is as painful as giving birth. You can see why we might argue on that one.
I thought it was supposed to be the equivalent of like a tennis ball coming out your peepee hole for a boy.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, because it is about the size of a bloody watermelon coming out the size of a lemon.
It's a bit different, right?
Really compare that, though, Jenny.
Because that would be the same as a tennis ball coming out of your pee-pee hole.
Can I just say, listeners, because obviously you can't see this, although I'm hoping to put this on YouTube. Simon and Ben look the most confused I've ever seen them. It's like someone kind of stopped the lights in their brains working as they're trying to work out how painful a tennis ball coming out of their penis will be. This might have to be the title of this podcast.
But isn't it like you get those stones that you have to pass? Isn't that
kidney stones?
Isn't that like physically nearly impossible to do if they get too big? So you wouldn't be able to pass a tennis ball anyway.
Wow!
Let's not get into the nitty gritty. Let's just say it's a big thing, a whole body of a person. exiting from the nether.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they're not very big, Lucy, so you're fine.
Can I ask why you like training racehorses? Can we move on from seeing how big of things we can get out of such smaller things?
Yes, let's move on. Before Lucy decides to question her life choices.
Yeah, Dara, I've already done that many times, but it's fine. It's fine. We'll roll with
it. It's got to come out now.
It is worth it. It is worth it. And yeah, it is worth it. And someone said to me, it's a great
Jenny's
question,
jealous.
Actually.
Jenny, are you jealous, Jenny?
I am jealous. I am jealous, actually. Like, I know the NHS gets a bad rap, but honestly, Swindon Hospital, can't say enough nice things about it. Like, you just see a side to people that you're never going to see in any other situation and how wonderful humans can be. And it is, and it's magical. My big tip for you, Lucy, if you're going to a hospital or a birthing place or anything, take a bag of thank you cards and some chocolates in your bag, because you will meet some of the best people you're ever going to meet in your life. And you'll leave there going, I need to give them something. And then you'll be in baby world and you'll never get round to it.
So that's very good advice, actually, because I do like thank you card.
That's very sweet advice. I like that.
Yeah. Yes, it's just one of those things you'll never get around to thinking about afterwards, but you'll regret not doing. So yes, a packet of thank you cards so you can write them in the hospital, and a couple of boxes of chocolates, because you will meet, as you know, Wild Verity is a wonderful human. You'll meet some of the loveliest people. Ben's smiling at me. I don't know if it's in, like, weirdness or...
No, I'm just smiling.
No.
Okay. But anyway, we'll probably get back to pregnancy at some point. But yes, how did you, Ember, who I have met, who you've kind of... I feel like with your social media and your YouTubing and everything that you do... he's kind of really dictated how you've taken what you do now, hasn't he? Like, you really have turned into someone that has gone on this journey with a racehorse, ex-racehorse. Did you expect that when you took him on? Did you think this was how big it was going to become, and how much people have enjoyed the journey as well?
Yeah, I mean, it was kind of a new undertaking for me, in terms of, obviously I had one ex-racehorse before, but I only had him for a few months, and at that stage I wasn't really into like the big social media side of things. So when I got Ember, that was kind of in the full, you know, the full throes of my social media career, as it was. So yeah, and I was just very honest kind of from the start about our journey and everything, and not rushing anything and taking everything kind of one step at a time, from which really was a very different type of horse to the other kinds that other influencers, et cetera, were kind of showcasing. Because, you remember, Jenny, at the how many years ago? Three years ago at Swipe Up Kick On. I bought Ember along, only having had him since January. And I think we filmed that in, what was it, July?
Oh, I don't. I blocked that time out, Lucy. It was so traumatic.
Dealing with us, to be fair, probably was. So, yeah, and bringing a horse kind of, you know, of his caliber, very inexperienced, very green, didn't really know what was going on, and kind of not competing against the others, as it were. But, you know, I just had to remember that I was at a very different stage to them of our yeah, journey, and what the others will be doing, like jumping huge, great big fences and everything. I knew that I didn't want to do that anyway with him. So, yeah, it's kind of like it's a labor of love with Ember, but it's been the most rewarding process, and obviously I've had a lot of support along the way, and it just has made me realize how fantastic and versatile thoroughbreds are, and just given me a whole new respect for them. But I've also tried to educate myself as best as possible on the kind of retraining side of things by, you know, I did a charity race, the Magnolia Cup, which was, you know, enabled me to actually ride proper racehorses in training and actually, you know, figure out the buttons so that I could understand more about Ember and how he works. So it's been really fun, and it still is fun. I mean, he's on holiday at the moment, enjoying himself. But yeah, it's been just great. And also, yeah, just really enjoyed it.
What do you think sets Thoroughbred apart from all other horses? What makes them so much more special to you?
Because they're just a bit wild. well, Ember, not all of them. All of them aren't. But I just quite like something with a bit of personality. And I'm not saying that all other horses don't have a personality, but and I just like the idea that they've had this whole other career. And I'm not saying that the term retraining kind of sits a bit funny, but I'm not trying to unravel or say that the work that they've had in training before, I'm not trying to retrain them because they have been trained to ride. It should be like re-educating of racehorses, in my opinion, because you don't want to discredit the trainer. Yeah, so I've gone off on a bit of a tangent, but...
No, I think I mean, Ben is leaning in. He is. You are right up where Ben... Ben is very much enjoying what you're saying, and actually so am I. So you're saying Yeah, I think you're re-educating. I mean, Ben, I'm going to let you leap in on that, but I just think that's one of the nicest phrases I've ever heard, actually.
Yeah, I think because to care for racehorses at the end of their career is something that gets put in the spotlight a lot, and people want it to be in the spotlight because people want to know these racehorses are sort of, like you say, being reskilled into new jobs. That I think, like you say, it makes it seem like they're in some way broken or defective, but they're not. They've been trained to do their job really, really well. In the same way that you would probably just as, the challenges you would have at taking a thoroughbred off the track and then asking them to go and do BD, BS, or, BE. But then if you took a professional Western reining or cutting horse and asked it to do those, you'd come up against a lot of the same, well, different, but, still issues. To me, it makes perfect sense. And it's the idea of people getting their brains around the fact that racehorses aren't badly trained. They're really, really well trained for what you want to do. They're kind of, I would guess, and I'd be interested to know your view on this, but I guess the stark reality is that sadly, what they are trained to do impeccably isn't actually that conducive to a normal equestrian's lifestyle of what they want to do with their horse. Because yeah. I did see a rather marvellous video, can I say, that I absolutely loved, of the before and after of getting bolted with down the beach.
That wasn't fun, to be fair.
The second time looked fun. I'm going one-handed and everything.
Yeah. No, it was fun. But that also, I think that was a funny video, actually, because that wasn't the first time I'd taken Ember to the beach, but it was the first time I kind of put myself in that situation where I was leading the canter and I thought, oh, I'll just let the handbrake off a little bit. And then it turned out that actually I literally could not stop for the life of me. And it took me probably, I was nearly in the next county before I could stop. And the reason why I was scared is because I don't like doing that on beaches, going flat out, because you do not know what the ground is, sand, the shifts in the sand. It's terrifying. And that's why, because in the comments is hilarious of that video. People are like, oh, one, you should use the one rein stop. I'm like, I don't really think that's a good idea, going like flat out. And that's probably quite an American thing, possibly. Ben, you probably know more about stop.
Which, again, can I just, I'll quickly jump in there. One rein stop, again, brilliant tool if the horse is taught it. So most horses that are trained via natural horsemanship or Western styles of riding will be broken in, or I'm not allowed to say that anymore, am I? What am I meant to say? Educated in riding.
Backed.
Wearing a rope. Oh, it's one of those things that really annoys me.
Like
the same as people being like, you're a horse person, you're not a horseman. Oh, fuck. But the idea is that they're trained in a rope. They would ride them in a halter, and you start on the floor by teaching them that you can lunge them. And then when you lift the inside hand and step towards the hindquarters, the bum goes out and the head goes in and they stop. So that then when you first ride them, you just ask them to go, and then when you're ready to stop, you open the inside hand, and the horse knows that that means to bend to a stop. So yeah, like if the horse is educated at it when it starts its education, it's a great tool. Otherwise, yeah, you'd have probably just done a spectacular flick flack roll into the sand with your horse, which yeah.
Yeah, no one wants to be doing that. But yes, the fast forward on that was me just casually cantering along. Like that was actually probably a bit of a turning point because I had struggled with the bitting of him. I won't go into it too much, but in terms of him, he's only 15'1" and like very petite, but he's a powerhouse. And that was one of the things I really liked about him, is he is powerful. But and I've really stripped everything back now, and I'm trying to do everything. I've actually looked into the natural horsemanship thing, and I had big ideas before I got some of these terrible pregnancy symptoms, that over this time of me not riding, I would look into the kind of more groundwork things as our next step. And I probably will do that before I get back on.
That would be really
helpful. You can sign up for BAM, Lucy, the Ben Atkinson method.
Well, I mean, like from my point of view as well, what I would say there is to make best use of your time while you're not with horses, I'd look more into the learning theory side of things than the tactics and methods side of things. So like less of, you know, bend the horse like this in this situation, and more like the learning theory, because that's the thing that I think is with the racehorses, like that horse, like it's not necessarily bolting like when they want to go in a bad way, it's that that's what they've been taught the human is most happy with them when they do. And it's sort of, how could I reprogram, you know, how could we reprogram that to make it, when I'm steadier, that's the happiest the human's going to be. So yeah, that's the learning theory side, I think, is what is the central hub that locks all of our industries together. Every aspect of equestrianism.
Well, sign me up.
He's very wise, isn't he? Yeah,
he's very wise. Lucy, you're talking about before and after videos and retraining racehorses. Have you seen the video that has come out of Monica Spencer and Artist that were second at Maryland?
Oh, you've put me on the spot now. Yes, of course I've seen it, but no, I don't think I have.
Okay, she was in the lead after cross country at Maryland. And the horse went superbly, but there's a video of it, of the horse racing, and it's basically saying, you know, he wasn't actually fast enough to be a really good racehorse, but he has still come onto the world stage and been superb. And it's such a cool video, and the horse looks amazing. She's done such a fabulous job, and I'll try and find it and send it to you. But if anyone is listening, they should have a look because it's really cool.
Definitely send that to me. There was another example this year at Burley. I think it was Tom Strawson with the 2,000 pounds ex racehorse.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. I watched his round and it was a bit hairy at the beginning, the first kind of 1 to 6. I was like, oh gosh. But then actually you think, God, good on this guy. He basically had his hunting breeches on and his like pony club bobble and just basically hunted this amazing thoroughbred round, and it looked hilarious. Not hilarious, that's the wrong word. Very impressive.
I found when I was retraining, I had an ex-pointer who I retrained and to event. Things that that he taught me, and I think that's where I love how you speak about Ember, is you're like, he's teaching you, do you know what I mean, a lot of the times. Yeah. And like one of the things was going to events. So when he went racing, he would get off and just be gone, basically. Whereas at eventing, there's a lot of standing around, being tied to the lorry, having a hay net. And like, so Ted, the horse that I retrained, he, like going to an event was like, right, that was the biggest learning curve for him, was learning that once you get there, you get to chill out for a bit. Do you know what I mean? And he would go fucking nuts at events, winning everyone, because the moment he got there, adrenaline was up, ready to go. That was, for me, one of the hardest things to, like you say, retrain or re-educate or however you want to put it. But yeah, that was a hard thing, something that you don't expect. Because at home, he was great. but suddenly you came to an event and it was like this fire-breathing dragon was unleashed within him. But like you say, but he's been told, Ben, that that's when humans are pleased with you. You get there, you get energy, and you go fast.
That's why the dressage is always so much fun.
What would you say has been your hardest learning curve with Ember?
We've had a lot of we've had a lot of curves. We've kept curving. When you think you've gone, you've passed a curve, there's another one. So I'm kind of constantly learning. But I would say initially, probably the hardest thing was he was a bit nappy. And it was kind of overcoming that nappiness. And that, I think, unfortunately for Ember, he finished his racing career quite late because he'd had his little flat racer. And he retired at 7, I think he was. So he'd had many, many starts, but he lost the love of it. I think, unfortunately, he was a bit ulcery. And I think there was an element of, we have to still try and make him race. So he was put in high pressured situations, and he's not the kind of horse that you can make do anything, like, and rightly so. And that the napping stemmed back from that, I think, the past experiences. So it was trying to find a way to make him, or let him understand, that what we're trying to do now, there's no pressure, it's all fun, it's chilled, and we can hopefully start enjoying it. And actually, it was, so that was kind of the first initial stages, and it was very repetitive, but actually it worked in the long run, because now we don't have any touchwood problems with any napping. But I would say initially that was the hardest thing, and that basically just stemmed back from his previous. That is the only thing, obviously, about having taking on an ex racehorse, is you don't know necessarily their past, obviously, and the training methods that have used and their association with them. It's not all bad, obviously, but in some instances like that, I'm glad I've got Ember, basically, because I don't think a lot of other people would probably understand or take the time to understand him, and would probably resort to other things.
Do you find that, as an influencer, that you have pressure on you? Or do you feel the pressure to do things or not do things more so?
I think you can obviously allow yourself to feel the pressure to keep up with the trends and to do everything. Yeah, of course. But I just don't. Because I know that, again, this is coming back to, I'm a very different stage. Like, as if I'm not going to... So Vlogmas is a very good example, where December is a time to put out loads of crazy videos, jumping horses over fun, festive Christmas trees and doing lots of different things. And
it might be the time in the year where I mute you lot from my Instagram social reel. I'm not going to lie, Lucy.
So things like that. And you're like, oh, well, maybe I should start jumping Christmas trees and doing things and blah, blah, blah. But actually, I've always been in the mindset that that's not going to help my horse in his journey at that time. So, yeah, I'm not great with vlog. I'm not doing it this year, obviously, but that's because I will possibly be with child. So there'll be a different type of thing. But yeah, no, I don't know. I do social media because I enjoy documenting what we're doing at the time. And if people find it interesting and want to watch, then absolutely love that. And if they want to watch other crazy jumping videos and lots of other things, then probably my channel's probably not the one. But I just keep it real. Try to anyway.
I like that. And I do get that impression from your channel. Ben, I am guessing with you, a lot of people come to you with the napping problem.
A little bit. Like, people tend to come to me more for training to do what I do than like problem solving.
Yeah.
Which doesn't mean we don't do any problem solving, but that's more where my teaching is. And then, like, for me, with everything with napping, it's never, like, any issue like that. You never treat the symptom, treat the cause. So, like, you know, they're either napping because they're buddy sour and want to get back to where they think life is better with their friends or in the field, or they're napping because they're scared of what's in front, or, you know, and it's like my big thing in those situations is trying to give guidance, but without escalating the amount of mental pressure the horse feels, because that's when we get into that sort of dog chasing its tail of making things worse. If every time the horse does something that we dislike, we escalate our pressure. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean tactile pressure of aids on the horse, but even just like mental pressure of how we interact with the horse. Then the horse starts to associate that the moment that they get scared on the hack, let's say, or when they pause when they're going to leave the yard, then the rider's going to, you know, the rider actually becomes part of the thing that they're now becoming nervous of. So then it's just about trying to give the releases in the correct points and give guidance. So add information to the horse via your cues and signals when things aren't happening the way that you want them to, and remove your cues and signals when things, you know, the slightest thing in that correct way. Because what you're trying to reprogram is the end goal. Make the best idea to the horse be the end goal that you desire. If that makes sense. I don't think I explained that one particularly simply.
No, I think that did make sense. I just, yeah, putting it into practice. Can you give me a lesson?
Well, I think maybe we'll have to wait on that. I feel like you and I, you being growing a child and with me recovering from ACL surgery, we would be quite the pair trying to sort snapping horses out.
Maybe not. Maybe next year.
Well, yeah, that just sounds like a terrible sitcom, doesn't it? Lucy getting pregnant and you in a mobility scooter. Like, I feel like it could be very entertaining. It's the show that no one asked for, but everyone wants.
The only way we could make that better is if me and Lucy are only allowed to help via what we shout at someone, and then we get like a third random person who isn't horsey, and they actually have to do it. Like that, there's your show. But no, the thing I find difficult with the X-race horses, and I'd love to know your opinion on this, it's getting them in the hands of the right people. You're obviously very capable. Like, what I come across is the people capable of helping them tend to want a different sort of horsepower. And the people who end up with them because they've got the kindest hearts often don't always have the education themselves that they need to help them. Is that sort of some, like, I don't even know what I'm asking you there. I've, like, an opinion on it, any way of working around it, advice you give to anyone that really wants to help an ex-racer and maybe knows they need more education?
Yeah, I think it's, you're right. And I think one of the appealing things probably as an outsider, or maybe like someone not horsey, X-race horses, they're cheap. You can just get a thoroughbred off the track and it's cheap, and I can get this horse and then it can event and do all these things and I can do all these things with it. But it is really, it's the educating yourself over everything else, which I definitely wanted to make sure that I was capable, but hence why, you know, looking into the industry itself and doing that side of things as well. But
because I think it goes back to that sort of psychology thing, doesn't it, of you can't fill someone else from an empty cup. So, like, it's, yeah, if you want to help a horse in any situation, it's making sure that you've got the knowledge in you so that you can put it into the horse.
You need a full cup.
Yeah. You need about...
I'll tell you what, if you can retrain a racehorse, then you can definitely raise a human, Lucy. You are fine. Way easier raising a human. Yeah.
Well, that is encouraging.
I actually think, Ben, you've hit the nail on the head there, because having been, obviously, an instructor for years, the amount of times that we get someone, I've had someone come in with a new racehorse, and they come in and their first want of what to do is, I want to get trying to get the horse on the bit. I'm like, this horse has never gone round on the right rein for most of its life. It's been cantering on the left rein. So should we just try and go on both reins first before we worry about where its head's at? Like things like that. Do you know what I mean? The expectations of training need to be completely changed of before you even get to what you would normally do with a horse that you get at 5 or 6 that's had a different life. You have to totally change your expectations, I think.
Definitely. I think, you know, I'd come from having Lara, who I still have, but I was eventing her very regularly and out and about and doing all that. And I think Ember came to me in a time where I was quite happy to not be doing that path because I, you know, I'm a grassroots eventer. 100 is very much my vibe.
Your sweet spot.
Yeah, I like that. Once upon a time, I had like goals of, novice, 2-star, everything. And you know, that still might be the case. You never know. But I'm just happy to kind of bob along and enjoy the process because it's taken me, how long have I had him? Since 2022. So January 22, I got him. And it's taken me this long to be comfortably jumping around a B90. So it's not a fast, like, oh yeah, just going to go out this season. I mean, yes, in some cases with some X-ray sources, sure. If you're quite lucky, realistically, or if you want to go and do it kind of average, but I just want to be, without sounding cheesy, be the best that we can be.
Can I chip in and say that, like, I think you could be a bit harsher with your language there. I think you were trying to be politically correct. Not if you can do it faster if you want to do it average. Nah, if you want to bodge it and not actually improve your X-racer and just rag it round across country and an event, you probably can. If you want to do a good job, like, I loved it when you've pointed out it's taken me 3 years to take him from where we were getting bolted with down the beach to competing confidently over 90, 100. 3 years is a realistic training time, guys. If you're listening to this and you want to take a horse from one goal to another, name me a college course, a uni course that is like, you know, everything's 3 years, 4 years, because we know that's how long it takes a human who desperately wants that knowledge to blummin' learn. And then you're also thinking about, like, when we think about these horses, I think people will say, like, oh, how long would it take my horse to learn that? And they see everything the horse does as like a card trick or a song to learn the lyrics of. Mm. But actually, I always point to people being like, it's more like me trying to teach you gymnastic rings. Because you could know how to do an iron cross on the gymnastic rings perfectly. You could have read all the books, know the theory, know how to grip it, know the technique. If your muscles and tendons don't have the strength and endurance to do it, it ain't happening. And it doesn't matter, like, it doesn't matter who your feed merchant is. Mine is Dodson and Horrell. Yours should be too.
They don't sponsor this podcast, so we might.
No, they sponsor me, Jenny. Come on. DNH, actually. DNH, we've rebranded when you were sexy. But the point is that I'm saying is it takes time to build muscle. Like, even a bodybuilding human can put on, what, maybe a pound a month or something, like, not a lot. So it's when you're thinking about retraining the brain, retraining the body, I love the fact, sorry, I've gone on, but I just love the fact that you've said it's a 3-year journey and we're about where I want to be. And people need to hear that.
Absolutely.
With that in mind, my son is 8. When the fuck will he be able to tie his own shoelaces? Because I've been trying to teach him that for years and it's not going in.
Just buy him Velcros.
That's, yeah, I think, the problem. We've been buying our kids bloody Velcro shoes and now we want them to tie their own shoelaces. They can't bloody do it.
Time will come.
Maybe I should try clicker training him.
Clicker training him.
I'm sure Jen would love that.
I'm not sure how ethical that is.
He probably actually would. We have retrained a guinea pig, though. That was the guinea pig's been retrained. I'll rescue guinea pigs. No, not with clicker training, with treats. We've retrained a very scared, very bitey, very angry Chewbacca. Oh. And now Chewbacca is the most chilled Zen pig you could ever meet. It's amazing.
Amazing.
And Chewbacca used to buck, literally try and kick you. hilarious. Anyway, that's a whole other podcast, Chewbacca and Susan. I am obsessed, if anyone wants to follow me on Instagram, but I call them my teacup capybaras. Yeah, quite obsessed by them. But with all this in mind, Lucy Lou, you have had quite a lot of pregnancy pain. And how hard has that been, knowing that you've been on this amazing journey, like Ben's just said, 3 years, and you've got to this really cool stage with him? How much mental fuckery has gone on with having to put that all on pause when you've made such progress to make a human? Has that been quite hard?
I think that's been the hardest part, to be fair, the mental side of things. Because I obviously found out I was pregnant and was excited, of course, but did think in my head that I'd be able to carry on riding, carry on kind of as I am, and you know, chase those badminton regionals, which we were kind of close to getting our qualification. I think I just needed to do one more event and then actually do the regional championships. However, I suffered quite early on, actually, with PGP, which, for, I don't know if the boys know what PGP is.
No idea.
No. Pelvic girdle pain.
It's a great word, that, isn't it? Girdle.
Yeah. And basically, it's just your ligaments and everything stretching, but people experience it in different severities. And mine is getting even worse now. Like, it's really,
off
really
the
bad.
Scale.
So I had to, yeah, it's just, it's really shit. Oh, I don't swear normally, but it is really shit.
Say how it is, mate. Say how it is.
It's all right. You are welcome safe space. Here.
Yeah,
safe space.
So the fact that, so take yesterday, for example. So I'd stopped riding by kind of 18 to 20 weeks, I think. And I was like, well, I could get someone else to carry on riding Ember and doing everything and carrying on the work. But I was like, well, what's the point? Because one, I want to be the one to do that because we've got this far. Two, give him a holiday. Like, he doesn't care. He normally gets a winter holiday anyway from October till about January, a good solid 3 months, because as like a well done for the end of the year kind of thing. So I thought, well, just a little extended one. So we finished in, I think, off Church Berry was my last event. So that was in June. And then I've just been off the horse completely. And then, yeah, so yesterday I actually had, now don't think this is cringe because it's not a cringy thing. I had a maternity shoot with the horses and the dogs. But don't, just get all the images out of your head of like the bare bump and the like the misty background.
If you're wearing a fucking veil and nothing else with a horse in a picture, Lucy, we might have to question our friendship.
No.
I've got like visions of flowing cheesecloth and positioned like
Lucy lovingly being a, you know, that heart shape they make round the bump.
We didn't do that. We did do that.
Was that your idea? That your idea, Lucy, or was it someone else's?
No, it was actually, I knew I wanted something at this time, and you know, I've never looked like this before. It's bizarre. I've got like a bump. And that's taking me quite a long time to get to grips with the fact that I have, yeah, a human attached to me on the front. So, and I just thought it would be nice to have some kind of nice memories of it without being tragic. And but they're very they're very tasteful. Kind of think, so one of them we shot, it was more like a kind of silhouette. Martha Lilly photography, shout out to her because she was my photographer. She came all the way from Shrewsbury, which to Norfolk is a bit of a schlep.
She's a lovely girl, Martha.
Very, very lovely. And one of the shots was in the stable, and it almost kind of was a bit of a Peaky Blinders-esque vibe to it, like moody, kind of me there, bump, looking hopefully all right. Don't know, I haven't actually seen the pictures yet. But I don't know. I think, can't remember why I told you that. Why did I tell you that?
I don't know, but I'm loving every second of this conversation. And I'm already Googling Peaky Blinder flat cap for babies.
Yeah, it's the Baker Boy, I think, was the Peaky Blinder vibe. But yeah, so anyway, it was a great shoot. Oh yeah, we were saying about then. So then I had, because in order to do the shoot, I had to bring the horses in the stables. Now, in this time of me becoming with child, I have moved the horses to another yard so that they can go out and be in the field, be a bit feral, kind of just, you know. And so they haven't been in these new stables. And I was probably a bit too blasé in my ability to, one, having the severe pain and everything else, and having two quite fresh horses. Oh, by the way, yesterday was also Storm Benjamin.
Yeah.
Which was, so it was windy, it was rainy. So I'm kind of setting the scene here. I've got a thoroughbred and I've got a bolshy mare who's a bit of a knob.
She's a legend, isn't she?
Huh? A legend? She is, yeah. She's a legend, but she's terrible on the ground. Ben, you'd have a field day with her.
Yeah.
she's not great. So I had to navigate bringing the horses in. Had to navigate bringing the horses in the wind and rain, which was fine. Did the shoot. Realised then I had to muck out the stables at the end of the day. Managed to skip out two stables, which actually ended up taking me over half an hour to just skip out. And
oh my Lord.
I didn't even empty the wheelbarrow. And then I got home and I basically, that was the end of me. And all of today, I've just suffered. So it's, my point is, the menial small tasks, which like leading your horse in and out from the stable and picking up a bit of poo, it has absolutely crippled me. So yeah. It's tough.
And loads of people say to you, enjoy this time, take time to relax. Make sure you enjoy it because soon the baby will be here and you won't have time. Can you just fuck off? I like being active. I like being able to ride my horses. If I wanted to sit and watch Netflix, I wouldn't have chosen horses as a career. It's not helpful advice, is it?
What the one that gets me is like, oh, you're tired. You just wait. I'm like, ugh, like, bore off.
we had all of that. Every step of the way, people have been like, oh, it's going to get awful in a minute. And it's been blooming great. So just ignore them.
Okay.
Because
I loved it. Because I was just like, look at this tiny thing that I've got and I just get to cuddle. So I did want to ask you, Luce, as well, because I listened to your latest YouTube. I listened. Are you proud of me? I went onto YouTube.
I am proud.
That I say it like that probably shows how often I go onto YouTube. But I was listening and I was very sad to hear that this isn't your first pregnancy. And like many women, it's not been the easiest of routes for you. And you had a miscarriage at the beginning of the year, which you've spoken about. And I do think what last week was Baby Loss Awareness Week. And it's something that's quite dear to my heart. I've myself personally had seven miscarriages. Do you think that having gone through that loss has made this, I found for me, having had so many miscarriages, that being pregnant was so stressful. Like every time I went to the loo, I was like, looking to see if there was blood there for literally 10 months was every time I weed is the dreaded wipe because you never knew what was coming on the other side of that bit of tissue paper. Weeing was the most stressful thing for 10 months of my life. So how has that affected you in pregnancy? And are you okay? And I did ask you before coming on here if you were okay to talk about it. Because obviously you're in a very happy place now, but I'm guessing, has it had a reflection on how your pregnancy is and advice for anyone going through the same thing, really?
Yeah, I think it's a difficult one. I've, as a rule, and I know this sounds silly because I'm obviously put my life, a portion of my life on social media, but I don't actually consider myself as much of an oversharer. So there's lots of things that I don't actually show online, but I did think that sharing this experience, like you said, lots of people go through it. And I think it's just, you need to, humanize it and know that I had so many messages from the back of that sharing. And yeah, it's kind of you're not alone kind of thing. In terms of how it's affected or how it affected my pregnancy, yeah, at the beginning of this one, of course, it's stressful. And actually, I was quite unfortunate in the respect that I did experience, well, the first part of my miscarriage, I was actually in the office at work. And my office is 2 hours from my house, which was just, that was really terrible. So I had to, and I had to just leave the office and do the drive home, and obviously very upset and didn't know what was going on. It was all very scary. So then I would say with this pregnancy, then when I would go into the office, because I only do one day a week in the office, so the chances of it happening there was quite, you know, probability wise, it was bad. So when I first went into the office, when I knew I was pregnant this time, I was obviously there's the stress and then there's the, yeah, but you just, I think as long as I had my partner, Rob, he's incredibly supportive and just the kindest man. Simon can vouch for that.
Absolutely. Because he's lovely.
he's really carried me through, but he was, and my parents and everyone, my family and my friends, that was the support network that I needed. And then, yeah, I would say, obviously, it's not like it becomes easier, but you're just kind of at peace with the fact that that was just a part of your life and that happened. And I know people say, oh, it's so common, it can happen to blah, blah, blah. But you never think it's going to happen to you, do you? Because, no. You know, it's just...
But you did. It was amazing how you dealt with it. And you obviously have got an incredible support network behind you. Because I remember when you were pregnant when we went to Africa, and she was like, oh, I'm not drinking just because I fancied not drinking. And you were very good at kind of making people believe that it had nothing to do with the fact that you were up the duff. And then it happened, and it was just, you were so good about it and so strong about it. And yeah, I was so impressed. But that's your personality a little bit. You're very good at dealing with stuff like that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, at the time, I didn't want to share about it on Instagram, obviously, or YouTube, and I didn't post anything. And, you know, you see these reels and everything about people kind of going through it. And there's people can cope with things in different ways. And mine was just, well, I would prefer to keep it more kind of to myself and more personal. And then the people that needed to know, they knew. And then, yeah, we just kind of carried on. And that's probably why I waited so long as well to announce the pregnancy, to literally the bitter end, until I couldn't hide my bump anymore because I didn't want to announce it prematurely or anything. But then I realized that people would start to notice, why is she not riding her horse? Why are they doing this? Blah, blah, blah. And then people speculate. And that's the downside, again, of social media, is that the speculations, I don't care, to be fair, what people say about me, if there's any kind of negative, I'm like, I don't know you, I don't really care. So people can speculate and do whatever, because I never take anything to heart. I'm quite like, light-hearted about, and yeah, like whatever, blasé.
It is one of those things, isn't it? You never know what. So you've had very big experiences of the website We Shall Not Name, where they slag off famous people or people who are influencers, and
Facebook?
Facebook. Yeah, we'll call it Voldemort's page, which I think are under investigation now, which is great. But I remember someone sending me a link on there to some of the horrible things people have said to me about me on there, and one of them was, I ran into Jenny Rudel at badminton. She doesn't look like she can have fun at a party. She just walked past me and just ignored me. I was someone I didn't even know, so I was never going to say hi. She looked so miserable. Now, at badminton, that horse trials they were talking about, I actually had a miscarriage. So I was making the highlights show for the whole of badminton that was going to air on TV. It was a big fucking deal for me producing and presenting the show. And at 4 o'clock in the morning on the Sunday of the last day, I woke up and was miscarrying, and rang my camera guy and told him what was happening. No one obviously knew I was pregnant apart from a couple of people. But I was like, I have to go in. This is such a big deal for me in my career, making this highlights show, because it was going on Horse and Country, but it was for badminton. I was like, I can't not show up on the final day. I'll try and be able to sort get in by 11, obviously in a lot of pain. Was definitely not going to wear the white trouser outfit I had planned that day. Just armed with certain products that would help me get through it. And yes, I'm sorry, random person, if I didn't say hello to you when you opened a door for me. But you just never know what people are going through. Do you know what I mean? Mm. And yeah. Because you don't tell people you're pregnant until about 12 weeks normally, you then can't tell people that you're having a miscarriage. So it's almost like this silent emotion and pain you're going through, because you then have to have the conversation, oh, I was pregnant, oh, and now I'm losing it. So it's like two conversations in one. And then you get the, oh, will you try again? Oh, I didn't realize you guys were trying for babies, blah, blah, blah. So it's a whole fucktard of conversations you have to have that you don't want to have because you've just lost your baby. But at the same time, you can't then explain to people why you're so sad. And it's really very mentally and emotionally hard. And then when you do get pregnant again and you're hoping that this one will work, you then still can't tell people. So you're going through all this emotion. So what I'm saying is, if people are new to a relationship or newly married or going through, don't ask them, are they going to have children or are they pregnant or things like that. And just, yeah, be kind to everyone, because you just never know what people are going through emotionally. So yes, I'm just very proud of you for sharing it. And I just think it's because you will get lots of idiots like me asking you about it on podcasts. Sorry.
No, I don't mind. And, you know, I'm very happy to, if it helps other people, to share my experiences and within reason. I did do a video. I was away visiting my brother in America, and I did like a Q&A vlog. I asked Instagram, like, oh, does anyone have any questions that I can answer and do it in a vlog? And one of the questions, which just made me laugh and think, and I can see who this user was. They said, did Rob only propose to you because he got you pregnant?
Oh, I remember that.
And I was like, that's punchy. But I still answered the question in my own kind of way. I can't remember what I said, but, you know, you just have to sometimes think, these are, at the end of the day, these are strangers. And it's like, yes, I'd care if my friend said that to me. I don't really care. I don't know. Probably on the other side of the world is saying that to me. But yeah, so it's quite funny. Oh, dear.
That's quite punchy. I would have replied with, yes, aren't I lucky? He's trapped now.
Now I've got a nice ring. Ha ha.
It is a good ring. Is it the ring you wanted? That's the question.
It is the ring that I wanted. He designed it. So he knew that I liked sapphires and sparkly things. See, it's a good stone. He went to do it himself. I did think, look at this. I did think that if you look at it from like a distance, do you know Lord of the Rings, the like eye?
Yeah. Yeah.
I think it looks a bit in the mountain. Do you know? What's that?
Yes, I know exactly what you mean. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Well, Lucy Liu, we have been talking for an hour and 19 minutes. Can you believe?
Oh,
and I know
Sorry.
That everyone has to either get back to work or do things. I've got to take children to Pro D-Day camps because there's a day off in Canada. Yay. But we have to go round. Because Ben often goes off on one on a big long rant. So we need plenty of time for this. You can go first, last, in between, but we are going to ask you what has annoyed you this week. I am going to also say to Ben that we've had our first complaint, a proper one. In the last podcast, you talk about rope halters and someone saying about the fact that that someone said that they are not harsher than normal rope halters. And a few people have misconstrued that as into you saying that rope halters are cruel and should never be used. Is that what you were trying to say by your rant in the last episode? And can you clarify if rope halters are cruel or not to our audiences? Please, thank you very much, because I'm getting shouted at.
Oh, I don't know where to start on this. Do I sue for peace or poke the bear?
Oh, God.
Nine times out of ten, I'll poke the bear.
Lucy, do not fucking encourage him. He needs poking.
I'll start by poking the bear. If you use a rope halter, and let's not just limit it to rope halters, if you use a rope halter, a big shank pelham, spurs, a whip, and when questioned about the validity of how or why you use it, it makes you feel defensive and scared or cross, you're probably using it wrong because you got something to feel defenses or scared or cross about. Because it makes you think, I'm not doing anything very nice to my horse with this thing. If the reality of that gets to you, that's a conversation between you and you. That's the first thing. I use rope halters. They're fine. I ride some of my horses completely tackless. I ride some of my dressage horses in a double bridle. I ride my youngsters in a rope halter. I train all my Liberty horses in a standard leather head collar. The equipment on the horse's head is as harsh as the human on the end of the rein or the rope. My issue is, let's take another aspect of the equestrian world. Let's say that everybody who turned up, and I know I'm going to twist the dressage rules here a little bit, because I know this couldn't happen. I assume this couldn't happen. I hope this can't happen. I don't know the rules enough to know. Let's find out.
Name five dressage riders. Go. But, I'm joking.
I could probably do that one. But anyway, if people turned up to ride their first novice or prelim in an ungodly double bridle with a big shank and a this and a that, you'd be like, whoa. Let's learn to keep our hands still with a nice egg butt. And then when you know where your hands and your legs are while you're moving and we can do our up downs without making our hands go up down, then maybe we can look at some more intricate bits and stuff to help us add more intricacy to our work. I was always taught that my pelham rein is the artist's finest brush. It's not the emergency brake. It's for tweaks that cannot be done with the other bit. Rope halters have become a fashion statement and a fashion symbol. You want to look cool. You watched Yellowstone or you watched Heartland. So now you want to put Bob the Cob in a rope halter. Just don't forget that their existence, they are designed to apply more pressure, more discomfort to a horse's head than a standard head collar. Like that isn't up for debate in any way, shape or form. Simplest way to prove that, if you own a rope halter and you own a standard head collar, go and tie them both, go fasten them both off the pole strap to the top of a beam, like a stable crossbar or something, and go and hang off each of them. And the rope halter will cut into your fingers more than a standard head collar. That's just a fact.
They were kinder.
No, are they toss? So if you imagine...
I don't have one, but I thought, I was like, oh, they're like hippie.
No.
Head collars.
And this is the issue. Like, they're... Like, if you imagine, the larger surface area, the less it's going to hurt, like, the less it's going to dig into you, the narrower it is. Like, so this is where my issue comes with it, because people just, like, if you have such bad control of your horse on the floor that you need it in a rope halter so that when it tries to run off, that's the only way you can keep it with you, that is fine. But just don't pretend. Like, and then we can go the other way. Like, loads of people in America, like my mates who live out on ranches, like in the middle of, nowhere. Yeah, rope halter's great because it will never break. No matter how hard the horse pulls backwards, it will not break. And you can make one out of a bit of rope. Like, that's where their origin is. But then that comes into me as well. Like, when a horse is hard tied, if a horse is tied up in a rope halter, like, the good thing about a standard European head collar is if a horse freaks out and pulls back, it'll fall to pieces. We will preserve the spine, but have to catch the horse. In a rope halter, if a horse pulls back, they can do all sorts of damage to themselves. Do I use rope halters? Yes, just carefully. And I think that's the thing. Well, my issue, and I know that you said before, Jenny, the lady went on about people like Warwick and Tristan. That's Warwick Schiller and Tristan Tucker, TRT.
Like, we didn't know who they were as well. I've worked with Tristan and Warwick. So just to clarify, we have heard of those guys.
I've met Tristan Tucker. I have a very funny Tristan Tucker story, but I'm not sure I can share it on the podcast. It's not even that exciting, but I don't know him, so I don't share. I don't think I can share a funny thing about him. Warwick, I know really well. And me and Warwick, Warwick's a big fan of him. I'm not that much of a big fan of him. It doesn't matter. So yeah, whoever you are, like, it's a strange hill to die on. Like, they apply more pressure to a horse's head. If I wanted to put it in a scientific thing, if we applied identically the same amount of pressure downwards on a rope, on a standard head collar and a rope halter, the rope halter would put more pressure through to the horse's head.
There you go. Now do you see why I needed to allow time for the what's annoyed you this week, Lucy?
Yeah.
Yeah, now I get it.
Yeah. All right.
That was only 7 minutes.
You're so wise. You're so wise. Benjamin, what has annoyed you this week? Or is that what's annoyed you? Me telling you we've had complaints.
There's probably more things that have annoyed me this week. I'll go for a short, funny one. I accidentally drove to the gym this morning. Well, I drove to the gym on purpose to do my physio. And when I got out at the gym, I was still wearing my leopard print fluffy Crocs.
No.
Oh,
no. My trainers on. So I had to do my physio and gym session this morning in my leopard print fluffy Crocs. And also, I've got my streams band on, my human streams, Equestreams band on for my healing. And three separate people in the last week have asked me why I'm on tag when they've seen me at the gym.
You're on day release. Excellent. Yeah.
So that, yeah, that's where I'm at this week.
I know. I have asked Matt if I can have a wristband. I know, like, I'm going to wear my ankle one at night, but just so when I'm traveling, it doesn't look like I'm on day release. But yes, excellent. Can we have photos of Crocs, please? I really want to see them now.
They've been in most of my Facebook pictures that I've posted recently. I've pretty much worn them when I've been... All those pictures of me in my mobility scooter or working my horses recently, I'm wearing them.
Because I zoom in on what your footwear is when I'm on it social media. Yes, Ben.
Yeah, well, that's something you should keep between you and your internet service provider.
Yeah. Mr. Grieve, what's annoyed you this week?
Well, this little session just now has annoyed me a little bit because my phone just kept on conking in and out and round and about, and then my phone's running out of battery, so then I'm having to find somewhere to go and plug myself in, and I'm just like, for goodness
sake,
this
is really pissing me off.
So that's kind of annoyed me, and I've been to an event in France last week, and I suppose the other thing that annoyed me was there are a few things that annoyed me actually that week, but I'll go with the fact that my French isn't good enough.
I just want
to be able to speak French properly to people and have a like proper conversation. And I just was, it came to a bit of a head when I was on the plane. So I was on row 5 in the middle seat. There were 3 seats.
Oh,
and
worst.
I was like, oh, this is great. So like, I'll be here on my own. Cause I was like one of the last ones to come on. I was like, oh, that's great. I'll be here on my own. So that's cool. And then this family came in and there was a little girl who was probably 4 or 5, and then her sister must have been 6 or 7, and the one of the little girls pointed at with a seat that was by the window, and she's like, so she obviously sat next to me there, and then the really young one sat on the aisle seat, and they were both French, and then their mum came by and she said, oh, hello, this is her first time ever flying.
Oh God.
And then they fucked off to the back of the plane.
No.
So I was left with these two little girls who don't speak any English at all, and I was trying really hard to reassure them and make sure that they're okay in my franglais. And yeah, I really wanted to be able to speak proper French then, but I couldn't.
I love that. That's so French, isn't it? We'll just leave with a man we've never seen before.
Never seen before in their entire lives. Could be any kind
danger.
Of weirdo.
Yeah.
No, I'm sorry. That's not French. That's just like... That's not okay. Can we say that that's not okay? That's not okay.
She's like, oh, this is their first time ever flying. And I was like, oh, great. And then, like I say, they pissed off the back of the plane. And then we took off and it was all fine. Not a single time did they come down to check whether their kids were okay. They literally just left them the entire time with me. And I was like, vous voulez un boisson? Or do you want a drink? Or do you want anything to eat? And they're like, non. They look absolutely terrified. I'm like, oh, Jesus. And of course, I would have bought them a drink if they wanted one.
That is so much to unpack in that conversation. What? Lucy, that is not the parent you're allowed to be. Don't get ideas.
But you say that. Like, it'll make them really independent, won't it?
Or in therapy. One or the other.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I was sitting next to this very scary man. He was terrifying.
With a French accent the whole time. He couldn't speak French, but he kept putting on this weird French accent.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, would you like a drink or would you like something to eat? I don't understand what he's talking about.
And he kept getting louder and louder, but we didn't know why.
I am traumatised by this.
I've got some anxiety going on. Reflux has just kicked in.
They were very, very brave, to be fair. Because, like, they were really brave.
I'd have wanted police landing wherever you landed in England. I'd have been like, this is why we had a 100 years war. Fleming, lock them up. This is wrong. Crikey.
Says the man who's raising his child in a beer garden, according to the last podcast.
Well, it's better than a crack house, isn't it? Stop.
First of all, and before we ask you, Simon, I think we'll do another podcast on recent events and what we guys have been up to. But can we just ask for the fans, how is Miracle after you guys had an involuntary dismount in Le Lyon? We have obviously chatted a lot off this podcast to make sure you and the wee man are okay, but are you okay and are Miracle okay?
Yeah, we're both fine. I'm still quite sore, to be honest. It was quite a heavy one, and it was very heavy for him too, but he looks fantastic, actually. I'm very pleasantly relieved, and he's good. He's very good. So thank you very much for any concern.
We will get into it on another pod, but we love you and we are glad you have returned to Blighty, slightly traumatised by French parenting, but in one piece. And I know Charles Owen will be sending you a new helmet. Yes. Thank you, Charles Owen, for looking after our Simi, because we were a bit worried about you. But we're very proud of you for always putting a smile on your face and coming on the podcast, despite your involuntary dismount. So welcome back to Blighty, and well done, and I'm glad Miracle is okay.
Thank you.
Lucy Robinson, what the fuck has annoyed you this week? I know you can be quite a ranty person like me, so I'm looking forward to this one.
I wouldn't get your hopes up, Jenny, because I mean, I've done very little in terms of, you know, actually things that could annoy me. So but I would possibly say, aside from heartburn, because that's really annoying. Like, that's actually really annoying. And leg cramps, random leg cramps in the middle of the night that just absolutely feel like your calf is being ripped off. Did you ever get that? Oh, my goodness.
I get that when I'm hungover.
Can you supplement potassium? Pregnant? I don't know.
Yeah, I think so. I think you suffer from anything.
That would help.
Would it help? Okay, I just need anything. Because, you know, you've had a long day of waddling around being pregnant, and then you get into bed thinking, I'm just gonna have a nice stretch. And then you stretch and your leg goes twang, and it just completely screws you over. So that has annoyed me. But also what has annoyed me, and the only horsey thing that could annoy me, and it's so menial, but it's quite annoying, is acorns. They're really annoying.
Yeah, acorns. They are really annoying. Ooh,
good one.
Acorns are so annoying. And the fact that my horses love them. They love them so much. So I've had to put electric fencing round all the oak trees. And there's like four in the fields that they're in, which is unfortunate, but, you know, it is what it is. And then also, yeah, then having to waddle around moving the battery from one fence to another fence so that they don't learn that one fence. Anyway, it's very boring, but acorns are a pain in the butthole, especially
people
when...
who might not know. Acorns are poisonous to everyone except for squirrels. Kevin the squirrel is fine. But also, just to make you feel better, when I was very pregnant with James, accidentally electrocuted myself whilst getting Finn in and out of the field on electric fencing, and he seems okay. So if that happens, don't worry too much.
Okay, that's good to know.
that is a good one, because they are a pain, and you can't really just go around picking them up because bloody hundreds of them.
Well, I did say to Justine, I was like struggling for vlog ideas, and I floated an idea past her. I was like, well, what about if, you know, I'm tidying up the fields and raking up acorns. She was like, Lucy, if you're vlogging about raking up acorns, like, you need to just rethink everything. Just your life, because that is not, that's not good. So yeah, I thought, actually, you're right there. So
oh, amazing. Right, we have taken up enough of your day, but Lucy Robinson, thank you so much. Will you come back on again? This has been very fun and entertaining, and tell us all about Tiny Person. By the way, Jenny, Simon, Ben, excellent names.
Yeah, well, we've already said, oh, I can't say it, can we? Because we did say about the name when I saw you at,
yes,
Blenheim. We did say, was it Blenheim?
Yes, it was Blenheim.
It was Blenheim. I can't remember. Baby brain. But yeah, it could be Benjamin Jennifer Batterbury, or it could be Jennifer Simone.
Benjamina.
Who knows?
Benjamina.
It could be anything.
What could be the boy version of Jenny? Or could Jenny be a boy's name? No, not really. Can't really pull that one off, can we?
If you spell it with like an EH, like Jenny.
No, there we go.
Joffrey.
Jeremy.
Joffrey.
Jeremy.
Yes.
Jeremy. Jenemy. There we go.
Jenemy.
Benny. Yeah. Benny, that's a mixture of the two.
There we go.
Ben and Jenny. Benny.
I feel like that could be boy or girl. That would be excellent. Yeah. Wow. We have really lost listeners now. Right. I mean it from the bottom of my heart, because I love you. Good luck with it all.
Thanks.
I am always here if you actually want some baby advice on how to keep them alive. But I appreciate that unwanted advice is not something people need. So if it's 3 o'clock in the morning, I will be awake here in Canada, and you need help with a child, give me a shout. I've kept two alive, and they've turned out all right. So if you want advice on how to get them to train horses, Ben's your man. And if you want to teach them how to be an inventor, you've got Simon. So you're covered. All the bases are covered.
Or if you want to teach them how to fly, just send them with me.
How to fly?
Fly?
Yeah. Those two two little kids flying.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Got you. That was random. Even
I thought we were just
brain.
About to find out that Simon had a pilot's license.
I
was
going
to be
actually.
Like, how have you kept this secret?
I wish I did. That'd be so cool.
There's a change in the story where on the way back from France, he's like, okay, well, the children were in the cockpit with me while I was flying.
Oh, this has taken a dramatic turn. Lucy. It is tradition on this podcast to for the boys to sing us out. Would you like to join them in singing us out? But all that is left to say is Lucy Robertson, Footloose Eventing, soon to be mum. Shut up and ride.
Shut up and ride.
I'm not very tuneful.
Shut up and ride.